Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to post-game number two of Boiler Up Down South. The Boilermakers just went into Blacksburg, Virginia, and despite a 5.5-6 hour weather delay, just beat the Hokies. You want to talk about it, Drew?
Yeah, man. Big game. Weird game. Took forever. Ran out of snacks. But good outcome in the end for the Boilermakers after dropping their first game to Fresno State. They go on the road and pick up a big win to go 1-1 on the year. So I saw it as a must-win game for any sort of postseason hopes, and there you go. They won it. So everything's still on the table for Purdue.
Yeah, no, if you had told me that game at Virginia Tech was going to go into dark hours, I would have figured a night game at Virginia Tech would not end very well, but the weather had other plans.
Yeah, no, it's tough to go into Lane Stadium at night, especially when you start the game at noon. Luckily, the 5.5 hour, 6 hour delay cleared a bit of the normally raucous, which was also a sellout Virginia Tech crowd. They were probably at a bar somewhere watching the end of that or home in bed.
A lot of people probably left a little bit early. Drew and I were actually able to watch this game in the same room at the same time, and despite the weather delay, we waited all that time, but we were watching it, and like as soon as the game restarted, like it looked dead, man. Like there was nobody in Lane Stadium, like at all. And so we were kind of concerned, like, oh man, like first quarter we had all this momentum, we're up 7-0, and oh, the weather delay is gonna screw us over. It seemed like the weather delay ended up actually kind of helping Purdue out a little bit, because nobody was there once that game restarted.
Yeah, that game would have got loud in the fourth quarter with the tied, with the normal Blacksburg crowd there. But, I'm sure they had an opportunity to return. Anyway, Garrett, let's get into some of the details here. Let's talk about the defense first, because, man, they had a bounce-back game in a lot of respects from the first game against Fresno.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been saying like all offseason, is that if there's one unit that Purdue has that looks like world beaters, it's the defensive line. And they just contained so well and put so much edge rush pressure on the quarterback throughout the game. And I mean, middle linebackers, everything over the center was pretty well contained. The secondary, specifically Cam Allen, continued to struggle just in small ways. But I mean, in the second half, Virginia Tech didn't score a single point. And you can't be mad at a defense that doesn't allow a single point in a given half.
Yeah, and just a record was set yesterday, apparently, by the Boilermakers, the fewest rushing yards allowed in a road game in Purdue history. They gave up 11 yards to Tech.
Especially for a game with, like, a wet field and, like, rain is still drizzling, you would think it would become, like, more of a run-based game. And the fact that 11 yards, you said? 11? Jeez. That's impressive for a game that you would think would become more possession-based and safe runs and draws up the middle, stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, I will say Purdue did get bailed out a little bit by the injury bug hitting Virginia Tech's wide receiver group. They lost their star receiver, Allie Jennings in the first quarter before the delay to what looked like a bad ankle injury. And so it looks like he might be out for a while. And then when they came back, their slot receiver, Jalen Lane, who was torching Purdue for the most part, much like Fresno's slot receiver torched Purdue, he went down with a leg injury and was out for the fourth quarter. And quarterback Grant Wells was limping around pretty much after the late hit on Dylan Thinneman. It was a bad call, but Wells got hurt. It looked like he hyperextended his knee and was limping the rest of the game. So the injuries worked out for Purdue, along with the really improved defense.
Yeah, so the thing that really impressed me about Purdue's defensive front especially wasn't just that they were containing so well, it was that, you know, last week I was kind of complaining that, oh man, against Fresno State we didn't even run 70 plays, and they forced the same thing against Virginia Tech this week. I mean, Virginia Tech ran, what, 62? Yeah, 62 plays, and they were 2 for 12 on third down. I mean, like, you can't really ask much more of that, and especially with that second half of 0 total points scored after the rain delay came back, and, you know, it went from 17-0 or 17-7 to 17-17 real quick. And, you know, all Purdue needed was that one single touchdown if your defense is going to be that solid. And hopefully that's what we can see going forward, where, you know, if you can say, hey, if Purdue wins this game, all they need to do is score 24 points because our defense can hold them under 20. Like, that's perfectly fine. But I think that's where Walters really wants this team, is like not relying on your offense because you're going to be so stout of a defense. I mean, it's how you see most teams who, you know, I know this is a lofty goal, but win a national championship. You know, it's like, if you can score 24 points and you can hold the other team under 20, if my math is correct, that means you win the football game.
That does sound correct, Garrett. The math department at the University of Georgia succeeds again.
Took statistics. Is it obvious?
So, yeah, let's go ahead and switch over to the offense. I've got some things to say about that, and then we'll sort of maybe talk about our players of the game and take this thing home. First game, we're going to wrap up the jitters for Hudson Card. He didn't look great against Fresno, but he looked much better against Virginia Tech. What I saw out of him this weekend is sort of what I saw on the Texas film. And so he was in control of the game, went 23 for 34, 248 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But then he did get into the end zone for that final touchdown on just a nice QB draw, or sweep actually, which we'll sort of talk about. He was a little more mobile, active, 12 carries, 16 yards, and that takes into consideration sacks. So did a little bit more on the ground on his legs. I really like to see him do his scramble. I think that's his elite skills, delivering pinpoint passes on the run. I feel like that was really where he excelled and played much better than he did against Fresno, sort of outside the pocket, improvising, or even when Graham Harrell would just move the pocket and get him on the run a little bit. Still looked good inside, but I really like to see him use that athletic ability and put the defense in a bind when he gets out on the corner and make them make some hard choices about coming up and stopping the run or staying with the pass, because he's got a quick release. And he does that little sidearm three-quarter thing, just snaps it out there when he's on the move. So I thought Card, much better. That's what I was expecting from the get-go. So I'm really pleased with that. I think that'll really even continue to improve moving forward. The run game, also, Devin Maccabee. Again, I thought he was sort of average in the first game. Definitely wasn't up to his standard. Fumbled earlier in the game. Today, no fumbles despite the wet weather. 21 carries, 95 yards. That does, again, take into consideration a couple losses. So he broke 100 yards, and then he lost a couple yards back. Averaged 4.5 a carry, had a touchdown, really broke off a nice 15-yard touchdown run. And, you know, Purdue's going to struggle in short distances still. Sometimes maybe it's just best to get into the end zone when just avoid that altogether. So I thought much better job by Maccabee. Broke some tackles. Purdue went to more of these sort of delayed runs where they would sort of usher the tackle up the field and then sort of stick it in Maccabee's gut and let him run outside zone. It was a new sort of interesting wrinkle, the blocking scheme. I'm going to have an article out in Hammer and Rails a little later in the week looking at that, because I thought it was a real nice adjustment from last week. Yes, Gary?
Yeah, like one of the things I liked about Maccabee's designed runs that they, you know, that Harold dialed up for him was that a lot of those plays were designed to where, you know, he just has to make one guy miss. And I had talked all this week about Virginia Tech has trouble tackling. So, you know, he just had to make one guy miss, and then everything on top of that is gravy. It's the cherry on top. That sounds like a terrible flavor combination. Ignore that part.
Gravy and cherry, baby.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what we do here down south is we eat gravy and cherries.
Gravy on everything.
But, no, I mean, there were so many plays where it was just like, hey, Maccabee, if you can be slippery enough to make one guy miss and get, like, 4 yards... anything after that, brilliant. We're set up perfectly. And as Drew was saying with with Hudson Card looking more like we expected him to play style-wise going into the year, there was one play, I believe, on one of the first two drives, I believe it was a scoring drive when it was 7-0, where I even noted to Drew where I was like, man, he's a right-handed guy who's rolling out to the left, extending the play, and the throw wasn't pretty, but it still got to his receiver and picks up a first down on third, and I think it was like 5 or 6. And that's what you want to see out of that sort of quarterback, right? Is like a dude who, even when it's gross weather, even if it's not a pretty throw, he gets it to the guy who needs to get to the yellow line that you see on TV. That's really all that it boils down to.
Definitely, yeah. No, we need Hudson Card to be a playmaker and do some stuff outside of the normal constraints of the offense. And again, that's what I saw where he was at his best, either design rollouts or just scrambles. And he did pick up first downs with his legs. He's a big dude. And he was going to run over anybody in his way on that QB sweep to the end zone. So, like you said, Card much better. The receivers much better, I felt as well. Despite Deion Burks only having one reception for 18 yards, and I'll maybe talk about that a little bit, Max Clair, the freshman tight end. We got to see Garrett Miller for a little bit.
Yeah, Garrett Miller sighting.
Yeah,
The
more important Purdue Garrett. It's okay, Garrett. Every Garrett's important. Garrett Miller played before the rain delay. I'm going to guess the coaching staff just didn't want to warm him back up after that long delay. He looked still just a little gimpy to me on that knee, which is concerning going forward. Apparently the depth chart is out or is going to be coming out, and I think he's expected to be the starter next week. So we'll see. But his protege, Max Clair, 8 receptions, led Purdue with 8 receptions and led Purdue with 64 yards. He was a real nice outlet for Card when he was sort of breaking contain and getting outside the pocket. And he was finding that tight end a little bit sort of as a escape valve. And that's really what Clair can bring to that. He's a solid receiver. He's a good athlete. He did have a 27-yard reception. Great job by the freshman there. I thought TJ Sheffield looked better. Had a long play, 36 yards. Played a little more physical than he did against Fresno.
Yeah, he had more yards after the catch than, you know, falling forward after the catch.
Yeah, yeah. No, he looked more in tune with Card. And Abdur-Rahim Yassin came through. Nice 27-yard reception as well. Averaged 14.5 catch, 4 receptions, 58 yards. And that's what we're going to need from those guys. They don't have to necessarily put up a lot of catches, but they need some explosive plays out of those two guys, especially if the defense, like Virginia Tech did, really focused on shutting Deion Burks down. Now, I said I'd talk about Burks in a minute. I think Deion Burks is a very talented player. I don't think he's a number one receiver. And I think if he starts getting number one receiver treatment by the other team, it is going to limit him. He's just not that guy who's going to be able to sort of make the contested catch on the outside. He's going to be, he needs some space. He's more of a run after the catch guy. I mean, he's now Steve Smith, and that's about the same size he is, right? If you're going to be a number one receiver at Deion Burks' size, you need to be Steve Smith from the Carolina Panthers.
Old Panthers days, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not that player. So, going forward, don't be surprised if when teams start focusing on him more that his stats don't look like a number one receiver stats. But what I'm hopeful for is that Sheffield and Yassin and maybe Miller or Claire stepping up will sort of relieve some of that pressure on Burks and some of the coverage and allow him to have a little bit more space where maybe the defense isn't rolling a safety over to his side. And again, I think the other guys putting up numbers is going to help him out as other defensive coordinators get more film.
And yeah, just going back real quick to what you said about Max Clair, is that what really impressed me with the freshman tight end was that he was really good. We noted one of those like stick routes where he was like the safety valve there. And if you give a guy like Hudson Card the time to scramble, extend that play, etc., and then just find a receiver who has a little bit of space, you can kind of trust him to put that dart directly into the numbers on his jersey. And Max Clair had a few of those where he just did those stick routes. And then he also showed that, like, speed, and he's big and fast and long enough to where he can get that reach over, certain corners and, we'll find out later, but certain safeties. And one of the things about Claire that really surprised me, especially this early on in the season, is like, oh, okay, there might be a really versatile tight end at the bottom of the roster while Garrett Miller is coming back and already expected to be a freaking menace.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing Miller back, but I feel like if Miller and Claire, now they could go, Purdue could go to some more two tight end looks as well, and that gives them a little, at least insurance, if one of the top receivers goes down for any length of time, they can maybe switch formations and go to some more two tight end looks and still not lose a lot in the passing game. So just having Claire show out is great.
And just real quick, I mean, like, with where most of Purdue's offensive staff comes from and where a lot of these guys on the offensive, like the offensive starters in general, most of them come from that area in Texas where it's, like, really pass-heavy, and I would even like to see, like, some more 13 personnel where they throw in, like, 3 tight ends now that we know that there are a couple capable of, getting a possession reception, getting a streaking down the field reception. I think the sky's the limit for this offense once they find their rhythm. That being said, I mean, whole new staff, it's going to take a minute, but the fact that there's some continuity with all these Texas boys kind of makes me feel a little confident in how quickly they will figure it out.
Yeah, and like you said, we can go to 3 tight ends. You saw the 3rd tight end, Drew Biber. I think that's how you pronounce it. You saw him on the field some. I think he was targeted, didn't quite make the reception, but another, he's 6'5", 245. He's a big dude. So Purdue's got some really good, solid red zone options at least, making up maybe a little bit for missing that number one physical outside receiver. It's possible maybe you make up for not having the 6'3", 6'4", 215-pound receiver on the outside. You make up for that with Garrett Miller and Max Clair and Biber. So, yeah, I thought that was important. Now, I want to say the one thing, the Purdue X factor, and he's sort of been the X factor in the last two games, is Tyrone Tracy.
Converted receiver.
Converted receiver. And I mean, I'll tell you what, this is what I expected out of him last year. And it was so heavy with the primary receiver and the tight end that you just didn't really see anybody have any more oxygen on that squad. So Tracy this year, with Purdue spreading the ball out a little bit more, and actually using him as sort of advertised as the Swiss Army knife. 4 carries, 51 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that he broke that 22 yarder. He had the longest run of the day. I like him used this way. He's a really great changeup. I would say Maccabee's not the fastest guy. I'd say Maccabee's best skill is his slipperiness and his ability to break tackles and sort of pick his way through traffic. Where Tracy is the fastball. He hits the hole and he's gone. I think he probably has the most finishing speed producing the running back since Raheem Mostert was terribly underutilized what seems like a millennia ago.
You don't have any lingering feelings about that, do you?
Oh, God. I yelled at the TV so often. Why is the fastest player in college football not getting the ball? It would seem like that would be a good plan. And it has certainly panned out in the pros for Mr. Mostert, who I think was starting for Miami yesterday. So, Tyrone Tracy had a kick return for a touchdown last week, broke a big run for a touchdown this week, had three receptions for 14 yards. Didn't really have any kick return opportunities because the Virginia Tech kicker was putting him through the end zone. But, that's a really great weapon. I see him more as a compliment, as I don't think his numbers necessarily improve the more you give him the ball. He's a guy that probably you just want to keep fresh and just have that explosion. Maybe get him, somewhere between 8 to 10 touches a game via handoffs, swing passes, maybe a nice wheel route in the future, some kick returns, and really have him be that explosive factor that the offense you could really use out of the backfield. A guy that can go get you 7 quick.
Yeah, no, I think of him as, like you said, like a bubble screen, kind of like if you need 6 yards on 3rd and 6, like he's a guy who's going to get you there probably more likely than any other guy, but you do want to limit his touches.
Exactly. And the guy, I wish these Indianapolis kids would just go to Purdue to start with instead of venturing off to other Big Ten schools first and then having to return home. I'm glad when they return back, but maybe we're learning some good lessons, recruits in the future. Just maybe stick with the Boilermakers at first and don't go to Iowa or Penn State where they don't know how to utilize you. But anyway, that was my recruiting pitch for the day. For all, I'm sure, the eagerly listening 5-star 16-year-olds to the Buds podcast.
Yeah, 16-year-olds, if you're listening to a 28-year-old man and a 42-year-old man.
Oh, my God, Garrett, yes.
Yeah, a 42-year-old man. Yeah. If you're listening to us talk about football, 16-year-olds, please commit to Purdue. The colors are cool. You'll get a cool engineering degree. I'm not good at math. That's why I was a journalism major. But come to Purdue. It's cool. And Ryan Walters seems like a nice guy.
Also, 16-year-olds, if you're listening to this, y'all, go touch some grass or something because you're young. And
yeah, no, learn to pick up a guitar, play a piano, write a significant other a poem.
Oh, God. All right, Garrett's going to start waxing poetic. He is the most metal man in Purdue blogging right now.
Yeah, I'm a bass player in a very bad metal band.
Bad isn't good. All right. Anyways, let's go ahead. We digress. Let's go ahead and wrap this up so we can get working on Syracuse. We put a little work in the other night watching them blow out Holy Cross.
No, it was Colgate.
Oh, was it Colgate?
Yeah, we sat through the entirety of Syracuse versus Colgate just thinking we would pick up some feelers. And you know what? When you beat a team by that many points, you don't really learn too much about them.
No, especially when we're watching it and not realizing it's a replay. But anyways, let's talk about players of the game. Who do you got on defense? Who is your stud on defense?
You know, I'm going to go with, should I say Mbah?
Oh, you're going with the defensive lineman making his sort of disruptive debut. You can go for it. I got another guy in mind, but you can give yours and I'll give mine.
Well, I just like what I saw out of him. He in the first game looked kind of reserved. He's kind of like finding his new home, obviously, having just transferred from Auburn. And I hate to say it, like, this sounds like an old school football mentality of like, just hit the guy. But like, when he was kind of almost ejected for that not exactly roughing the passer, I was like, all right, he's got some fight in him.
Yeah, no, I like what I saw out of him. And like you said, he hasn't played football that long, so he's got a really
high ceiling.
He's French. I think he just came over and started playing in high school JUCO, right?
He played for his first football team in France, but he's originally from Gabon. And Gabon is a west coastal African country. In the crescent of that area. I wanted geography B when I was in the seventh grade, if you can't tell. But no, he came from there to France, played for a club team, and then Hutchinson Community College, that community college in Kansas that pumps out a bunch of transfers, picked him up because you can't ignore a guy who's 6'6" and 325 pounds. Good Lord. I'm 6'6" and 200 pounds on a good day. I don't eat enough. This guy is huge. He's got a motor. He only played 10 games at Auburn and was underutilized there, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be a very, very good player with a couple years left to play at Purdue.
Yeah, and that's really the key for him, is he was a guy they picked up that has more than this 1 year of eligibility. I think he may have two left. I'll have to look that up, but definitely one. I'm going to go with Nix Gordon. Dylan Vianen again led the team in tackles, and I say his name really fast because I'm not exactly sure if it's the I before E, E before I. Anyways, he had 7 total tackles, but Nick had 3.5 tackles for loss, a sack, and with 5 total tackles, and that's what this defense is designed for, to get guys like Nick Gordon into the backfield, creating havoc, stopping the running back before he gets started, getting after the quarterback, they did a much better job of holding the edge for him today. Saturday.
Time is so hard.
Yeah, on Saturday they did a better job of setting the edge for him. They let him dive inside, and they were wrapping the defensive ends around him some on pass rushing situations to better set the edge. And man, he was all over the place. I looked it up: 3.5 tackles for loss. I think we've got to go back a long way before you get to Purdue guy that did that. I thought maybe Karloftis did it, but no, he had 3 as a freshman against Penn State, and that was his peak. So, great game by Nick. He might be flirting maybe with all Big Ten honors by the end of this season. Let's move over to the offense. Garrett, who'd you like?
With Maccabee's first run and the fact that he just kept chugging along, I kind of want to give it to Maccabee. That said, I might have to give it to Card. Card looked exactly what he was like, exactly like what he was supposed to look like in these tight games that could be one possession games and finish by 7 points. You know, just his ability to extend plays and the fact that some of these tight ends and receivers can lose corners and lose safeties and kind of get open and give Card like a modicum of a chance to hit it in the numbers. Like, I really liked what Card did. I thought he was exactly what we needed him to be in those sorts of close games. and hopefully we see more of that going forward.
Yep, I'm going to have to be there too. I got Hudson Card as well. Really flipped the script on time of possession. That a lot of that had to do with Card keeping plays alive on third down, finding guys at the sticks, moving around. Purdue was 7-17, third down efficiency. Still not where you want it to be, but much, much better than last week. And like you said, that's the guy Purdue needs them to be. It'll help Purdue hold on to the ball for 38 minutes. Didn't turn it over in a sloppy field.
Rainy game, gross field, where especially a guy who's known for being able to run could slip. Like, great, great work.
Yeah, and really, I didn't even see too many balls in jeopardy that he put up. So, again, great job by Hudson Card. And we would also be remiss if we didn't mention that was Ryan Welter's first college head coaching victory. So, good job.
That's going to be a trivia question someday. Where did national championship winning head coach Ryan Welter's win his first game? And that is Blacksburg, Virginia.
See, I think it would probably be something like, how long was the rain delay in Ryan Welter's Hall of Fame career, the first win of his Hall of Fame career?
Oh, God, was it 5 hours 26 minutes or was it 5 hours 34? I host trivia as well, so like I'm the type of person who would be worrying about that sort of discrepancy.
All right, hey, man, I think it's time to take this on home. Look for us. We'll be up on the stream on Tuesday, and we'll be back up on Friday giving you all a little Syracuse review. Sneak preview, they are better than Colgate.
Yeah, a lot better than Colgate, as we learned the hard way.
All right, so this is Drew and Garrett signing off. Y'all be good. See y'all on Friday.
Boiler up down south.
Mm-hmm.